So this morning we want to look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, and we want to share one verse, and I may not, well, I feel like after reading this morning and after going over the message, I believe that we're going to turn this actually into two parts. But we want to, because we don't want to rush. You know, when it comes to, just like the song that Sister Ashley sang, when it comes to our salvation, and when she said or sang the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me, that should be the testimony of every one of us about how the greatest of all miracles. And I don't think that we can rush a subject dealing with salvation, and dealing with our own hearts. And so we're going to try to just share with you a few thoughts this morning, and most likely be back in this passage tonight. So we want to read one verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to speak or began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Our message this morning is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We do lift up those that are on our prayer list. There are so many. We also lift up the ones that will be having surgery this week and procedures. And Lord, we pray that you'll intervene and that you'll bless and that your hand will be upon all those that are apart. But Lord, we also pray for those that need Christ in their life. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's under the sound of our voice, either here or viewing, and that will be. You know the heart of every person. You know the believer that is struggling. You know the ones that need to be saved. But Father, we pray that you'll take this message and just simply apply it as you see fit. Help me, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three questions that come to my mind as I was preparing this message. And there are three unanswered questions as far as an answer given. But in the unanswered questions, it needs to be answered by individuals. It needs to be answered by you. It needs to be answered by me. It needs to be answered as individuals hear and as individuals read. The first question is found in Mark 36. The Bible says, or Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now that verse holds very special to me because when I started attending church back many years ago, I was saved. I was saved, as you know, I was saved when I was 15, but life got in the way and I made some bad decisions and I got out of the will of the Lord. And when I started attending a church, just a service once in a while, that verse was actually written on the wall where the choir stands. There was a ledge and it was written where everyone could see that looked on. And the first time I saw that verse in that context, as far as in that church, as soon as I walked in the door, I knew that that was a question that I had to answer. I knew I was saved, but yet I wasn't where I needed to be in that question Every time I stepped foot, I saw that question in that verse. And so it's a question that each one has to answer in their own life and in their own heart. Another question that I think of is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" So there's another question. But the question that we want to focus on this morning is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? These questions are very thought-provoking, and these questions must be answered. Sometimes we can avoid answering a question. If you're talking to someone and you ask them a question and they don't really know how to answer it, they kind of avoid it. But yet in our heart, that question must be answered. And although it may be avoided as far as speaking out verbally, in the heart, a person knows the answer. They know the answer. It's a personal question that in reality must be answered from the heart. I can't answer from you. You can't answer for me. But it's a question that must be answered. Just reading that question slow and thinking about it and meditating on it really becomes very humbling. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? It's a solemn question. It speaks of a great provision that God made for you and for me, what God made for us and mankind. It's a great peril that faces each one of us, and it's a great problem if we neglect. It's a great problem if we neglect. How shall we escape? You know, when I'm in certain situations, then I'm always looking for an escape. You know, one of the things that I don't like doing is getting in a very, very confined space. I don't like crawling up underneath a house that doesn't have a basement or that doesn't have a pretty good sized crawl space. And there are some houses that are very low to the ground that I just can't get into. Because I'm always looking for an escape. I was helping Scott with his water one day, and it's not a too bad of a small space. And so I started in there and was going to help him put on the points, because he had bad points for his water. And I looked and I saw two snake skins hanging down from the cinder blocks. So I backed myself out and I said, "Okay, you're going to have to do this. I'm going to tell you how to do it." True story. So I told him from a distance how to do that, because I was immediately looking for that escape when I saw those snake skins. But it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're observant, you're looking for an escape. If you get into a crowd of people and you start thinking about the possibilities of the what ifs, you're looking for, okay, where's my exit route? You know, how can I do this or how can I do that? But when it comes to an escape, in this case of what the Bible is talking about, there's only one, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. This morning, there's a lot of things that we may not have answers for. We may not have answers to a lot of the future events that's taking place. We may not have answers to the things that's happening around us. We may not have, you know, I think of the Millers this morning in that storm that they're in, and they may not have the answers as far as what will happen, but yet we know the one that does have the answer. And that's the one we look to. But this one question can't be avoided. It can't be avoided. We might try to put it up on the shelf. We might try to say, I'm not going to think about it right now. But that question is still there. And it will not go away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So the first thing I want to make mention of this morning is God's great provision. What is this provision that God has given us? And that is none other than salvation. This morning, I thank God for salvation. And we should be grateful for the salvation that was provided to each and every one of us. But there's a passage of Scripture that I want to think about. It's actually a parable found in Luke 15 about the lost sheep. And I want us to consider that great salvation. Verse 3 of Luke 15, the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lay it on the shoulders rejoicing. And when he have cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance." When the sheep was lost, it was away from the shepherd. And when the sheep is away from the shepherd, there's some things that in reality that's happening. First of all, there's no provision. I want to call it unhappiness. Because the sheep is going to be protected by the shepherd. The sheep is going to be provided for by the shepherd. And the sheep is going to be in safety with the shepherd. But yet when a sheep gets away from the shepherd, then there's unhappiness, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's just afraid, and there's just one of the greatest, which is there's a wandering that's going on. And there's a lot of people in that case this morning. There's a lot of folks out in the world that are wandering. They're wandering individuals, not wandering in a sense of I'm wondering about this, but I'm talking about they're wayward, they're wandering. They're looking. They're looking for something. They're trying to find that peace. They're trying to find that happiness. They're trying to find, things in their own agendas and all those things. They're wondering. But the most important thing that they're not understanding is the fact that they're in danger. Anyone without Jesus Christ is in danger. Anyone without Jesus Christ, without being saved, is in danger. And I'm convinced this morning that people are just not fearing God. They're not fearing God. They're not fearing the danger that they're in. They're so wrapped up in the moments of life, and they're so wrapped up in their own agendas, and they're so wrapped up in the things that they're forgetting the danger that they faced. So that question is to be asked, how shall we escape? How shall we escape the danger? But as we also look in that passage of this parable that I just read to you just a few moments ago, we see the wandering sheep, we see the unhappy sheep, we see the sheep in danger, but I'm so thankful that the shepherd sought and found the sheep. The shepherd sought and found the sheep. There was and when he was found, he placed him on the shoulders. He placed him on the shoulders, which is a place of protection. It's a place of safety. Another thing that I thought of when it comes to, I was imagining the sheep on the shepherd, and on the shoulders, I was imagining how that sheep was lifted up by the shepherd. Almost like we're lifted out of that miry clay in the Lord Jesus Christ. Placed him on his shoulders, and the sheep was no longer in danger, but he was now safe. Safe. But the shepherd was one that went out looking. Went out looking for the sheep. And the sheep was provided for because of the shepherd. You see, salvation this morning is a provision. And that is a provision that is given to each and every one of us that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times I wonder if people don't think that they're owed something. It's amazing to me how that society has got this idea that they're owed something and they think they deserve something that they haven't worked for it. And that's how society is. Society thinks that they should have whatever they want, and they don't understand that there must be a provision and there must be a job that has to be done. Well, this morning when I think about salvation and I think of what Jesus Christ has done for us, then there was a work that had to be done. And there was a sacrifice that had to be given. And yes, it's free to all that whosoever believe, but yet it cost our Savior His life. That's the price that was paid. And that's why it's so great a salvation, because it's God-made. It's God-made. And anything God makes is right. Anything that man makes is artificial and won't last. It won't last. Why is salvation so great? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Why is salvation so great? Because there was a great love that provided it. There was a great love that provided it. Our heart's desire this morning is for those of us that know Christ, those of us that are saved, that our heart's desire is that we draw closer to God. And the reason that we need to grow closer to God is because life hinders love. Life hinders love. How many times have you seen a couple that started their life in love and it was like they couldn't take their eyes off each other and they thought about each other all the time and this, that, and the other. And then life gets in the way and then they grow distant. It happens every day. It happens every day because life gets in the way. And although you may not have the same feelings that you had in a sense of the batting your eyes at each other, although I don't know why you don't, but the point is there's some feelings that might change that was new, but yet the love should still be there. And the love should be real. And sometimes life gets in the way of our love for the Lord Jesus. It gets in the way. We become too busy for the Lord. We become too busy to the point of He becomes an afterthought. You know, I'm convinced of this. I think it would be very healthy for each and every one of us when we get up in the morning, and I hope we do, but when we get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for getting us through another day, and thank you for getting us through another night, and thank you for the provisions and how important it is. This is Thanksgiving month, but we should be thankful every day for that great provision that God has given. Because there was a great love that was behind it. A great love. Nowhere will you ever find anyone that loves you as much as Jesus. Nowhere will you ever find anyone that wants and has that desire of that relationship and that fellowship like Jesus does. It's all through the Bible. The Bible's a love story. of a great provision that He has made. But yet, there's still judgment. And when I think about this verse, I think about how shall we escape? Because there's no escape in reality except through the Lord Jesus Christ. So our desire is that we draw closer to the Lord, but also our desire is that if someone has never accepted Christ, that they say yes to Jesus. That they say yes to Jesus. I'm so grateful of the night that the Lord saved me. I'm so grateful that the message that was proclaimed, that God laid it upon this man's heart, that he presented the gospel and I said yes to Jesus. God used a messenger and the Holy Spirit convicting my heart and I said yes to Jesus, but so many times people are saying no. People are saying no. It's amazing to me because I grew up in church, and although I got away for a little while, I was still raised, growing up in church, but there's families right now that's in the world today that's never stepped foot in a church. That's never heard the gospel. We think of the great mission in the mission fields, and we think of the Millers, as I've already mentioned, and the mission field over in the Philippines, and we think of China, of Robbie Mullinax, and I could name some of our missionaries, but what about here in the United States? There's a great mission field here. There's a great mission field here. God has provided a great love, and He has shown a great love through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that has to be answered in a person's heart, and that is, how shall we escape if we neglect what God has provided? How shall we escape if we neglect what this great provision of salvation? Oh, that I love that, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. That grace that brought it down to man. How? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, and think of that word so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's that provision that He gave His only begotten Son. And where we fit in is that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's a great love that is provided through salvation. That great love. But how shall we escape it? How shall we escape it? If there is, a lot of times, if there is a... If you're traveling somewhere and you hear of an accident, then a lot of times you, especially if you're getting your directions by your phone and by your phone app, that kind of tells you where to go as far as the directions. You know, sometimes I wonder if we don't use our phone app too much, we don't even know how to get home from a place that we go every day without using our phone, right? But a lot of times if you use your phone and you're trying to get to a direction, there'll be a big red line, and that means there's most of the time there's an accident and you're going to be delayed. So you're looking for a place around. You're trying to figure out, you know, how to get around it. And sometimes it will beep at you or give you a message and they'll say, something like there's a policeman ahead or something like that. And our phone will tell you. And the first thing that we do, we like, uh-oh. And then the first thing you do, you look at your speed. That's just what we do. Because we know that there's danger ahead. But you know, when it comes to life and eternity, people don't see the danger of hell anymore. They don't see the danger. when if you took your last breath at this moment, at this time, where would you go? And if you say, I hope I go to heaven, you're not sure. You see, there's danger. And there's a greater danger in eternity. There's a greater danger in taking that last breath. There's a greater danger in taking that last breath and not knowing where you're going to spend eternity than it is in that traffic jam that I was just talking about. Or that policeman that might give you a ticket because you're going just a little bit over the speed limit. Because those things will pass, but eternity will not pass. Eternity is real. Eternity is real, and it could happen taking that last breath at any age. There's people that live to be a good, healthy age, but yet when they take that last breath, eternity is just as real. I've told you this before, but my very best friend, when I was growing up, my very best friend, such an influence on my life, such a testimony in my life, was going to Bible college, and his first semester, he drowned, 19 years old. Had his whole life in front of him. Had his whole future. Was thinking about, the things that you think about, your careers and all those things when you're 19. You think about I want to be able to do this and I want to be able to do that, but yet, on that Sunday afternoon that he and some friends went swimming, on that Sunday afternoon, he never knew when he was going to step in that water. He never knew that he was going to take his last breath. And he went into eternity. And when we got word, there were probably about 12 or 15 teenagers that we all grew up together. We were just brokenhearted and we sobbed because he took his last breath. But one thing that I rejoiced about is because he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. And although it's been many years later, it's been over 40 years later, probably about 44, I'm going to see him, because I know that my salvation depends on the Lord Jesus Christ and not me. And I've accepted Christ. But what about the ones that can't know, or that don't know, or that are concerned? Because the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as real and rejoicing as we think about heaven, hell is just as real. Hell is just as real. How can we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation? How can we escape? It's great not only because of the love, but it's also great because the price that was paid for it. The price that was paid. Salvation cost God the best that he had in Jesus Christ. Salvation cost God his best. There was a price that had to be paid. And he paid the ultimate for you and for me. How can we come to even try to comprehend that price or that love that God shows each and every one of us? And I wrestled and I thought and I was wondering, how in the world can we even remotely relate to that love and that sacrifice that God gave for us? How can we relate to that great provision? And it hit me. And although it's not the same, we can relate just a little bit, because we love our children. And we would do anything to help our children. There's a lady that I know that her daughter, as far as I know, she's not a Christian. But her daughter got mixed in drugs. And this was recent, over the last probably about 18 months. And her daughter got mixed in drugs, and she said, I don't know what to do. But I want to send her somewhere where she can find help. And she found a place, a secluded place of trying to help, trying to get beat the drug addiction that people get on. And so she didn't have the money. And she really don't make, you know, enough to pay, but she did everything. And she sold everything that she could and borrowed money from people just to be able to send her daughter to this rehab. And she did. She sent her daughter to this rehab. And she was there for probably, I think it was somewhere around 8 to 12 weeks, and it cost a little over $8,000 for this rehab. But this lady was willing to do it for her daughter because her daughter was suffering and her daughter was addicted. And I thought to myself, we will do anything for our children if we have to. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much it cost us, we would do, if we knew that our children is hurting, we would do everything that we could, and we would be there at a moment's notice for our children, our grandchildren, our family members. We would do everything that we could, no matter what it cost us, because we love them. And just remotely, just a fraction of how we're feeling and our love for our children, that's what God did for us by sending Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. He gave His best that we might have life, and therefore we should not take it lightly because of what He's done for us and that great provision, that great salvation that this verse is talking about. And that lady told me, she said, I'm in debt right now. She was already in debt. She said, I'm in debt. But she said, I'll do it again if it's going to help my daughter. I'll do it again. The great love, that was that price that was paid for you and for me, that great love, and how can we escape it? How can we escape it? How can we escape? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 said, or 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God and His grace. For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And we say this morning, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that great provision. Thank you for that great provision. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold. That's what the world looks for. Silver and gold. I want. But we're not redeemed through those things of your feigned conversations received by traditions of the from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see that great provision, that great love, and that great price that was paid. And then we see that it's great, that salvation is great because of the great blessings that is included in the provision. If you were going to buy a membership somewhere and you bought this membership, whatever it is, the first thing you want to say is, well, what are the benefits? It's now insurance time and everybody's trying to get their insurance signed for and all those things. And we got so many so many days and we think, okay, what's the benefits? What's the deductibles? What's it going to cost us out of the pocket? And you think of all those things. But what benefits do we have in salvation that God has provided? And this is by far not all of them, but there's a couple of that stand out to my mind, and that is this. In salvation, in what God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that I think of is that provision is forgiveness. Thank God for His forgiveness. You know, a lot of times we have more trouble forgiving ourselves than the Lord forgives us. We have trouble forgiving ourselves because we think to our past, and we think about the things that's in our life, and we think about the mistakes that we've made, and we think to ourselves, how in the world can someone forgive me of this? And we can say, it's under the blood. Salvation is complete. We have forgiveness and we have peace. I can tell you the moment that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I didn't realize I was in turmoil until I felt the peace. And the moment that I said yes to Jesus, there was a peace that came over me. And in my heart, I said, wow. Because that's what He'll do. That's what salvation does. You don't realize how much in turmoil you are until you say yes to Jesus. And then I think about another provision, is that ultimate grace. We sing a song, Amazing Grace, and how true it is. It's simply amazing. Amazing. And then we receive eternal life. Whether we realize it or not, when you're growing up, you think of how slow life is. I did. I'm like, my goodness. When they would say you're not old enough to do a certain thing, and you're like, you know, and you're like, well, let's hurry up. Let's hurry up. Let's hurry up. And now that you've passed all those things, then you say, whoa, what's happened? Life needs to slow down. Because when you start thinking about how many, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, we've got a good 30, 40, 50 years, if, you know. But then when you start thinking and you reach that point, then you start thinking about the fact that more life has passed than you've got left as far as this world's concerned. And that's how life works. And then you start thinking about eternity. And when I think of eternity, I think of forever and ever and ever. We'll be in the presence of Jesus and our loved ones. Heaven is now our home. And heaven will be your home if you say yes to Jesus. See, that's that great salvation. Most of you can relate to this. But our bodies wear out. If I was going to show hands how many people's got doctor visits in the next 2 weeks, I suspect most of us would be raising our hands. Our bodies wear out. And as you get older, our bodies are going to continue to wear out, and we're going to have aches and pains, and we're going to have all those things. And it just seemed like yesterday you could bend over and pick up something, and now you're like, I don't know if I can do that or not. But the blessings that we have in our salvation is the fact that we're going to live forever in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll have new bodies, and the bodies won't wear out. You see, that's that great provision of salvation. That's what we have. And heaven is our home. This place that we're in right now, the state that we're in, this is not our home. And for that, I'm grateful. Because the things around us are changing. The things around us are wearing out. The things around us are happening. And we may not know what tomorrow brings, but I'm glad in Jesus we don't have to worry. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. How shall we escape? It's only a question that you can answer. I can't answer for you. When you were growing up, a doctor, and you were growing up, I remember my doctor when I was a little fella. My doctor used to be, his name was Dr. Duck, and he was in Weaverville. And my mother would go with me to the doctor. And questions would be asked, and my mother would answer for me because she wanted me to have the best possible care. Plus, she knew me, and she knew what was wrong and all those things, and she would answer for me. But now when I go to the doctor, I have to answer for myself. Well, when it comes to this question, how shall we escape? How shall we neglect this great salvation? The only one that can answer that is you. That's the only one. You know your heart. You know where you are. You remember, our desire is that we love the Lord more and more and more. And sometimes life gets in the way. And only you can answer if life has gotten in the way of your love. It happens. But for those without Christ that's never said yes, as quickly as you're blinking your eyes this morning, that's how quickly your life can be, you can leave this world. We don't even realize that we're blinking. We don't even realize it. But that's how quick. We can't neglect this great salvation. We can't escape without the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have our invitation, we're going to conclude this message tonight because there's two more parts. But it's important this morning that we think about how great this salvation is, because it is the greatest thing that you will ever be offered. It should be new to us. Even if we've been saved 50, 60, 70 years, however long you've been saved, it should be new to us every day, and we should never take it for granted because it's so great. So we're going to have invitation, and if the Lord has spoken to you in any way, I invite you to come and say, Jesus, I need you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this great salvation. And what a question. It's a question that we, everyone, must answer. There's no escape. But you've provided everything that we need. And Father, as we have this invitation, if you've spoken to hearts, you know every heart's desire this morning. So, Father, do as you see fit. If someone needs to be saved, someone needs to come to know Jesus, I invite them to come. But, Lord, we also know that life gets in the way. We lose our joy. We lose our love. We lose all these things. I invite us to come and talk to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.